round some people up from outside, and then we'll start. It's good to see so many people here on the last morning in this small little room we've got here.
Okay. You want the panelists to be here? Shall we ask them to come here?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just ask them to come up. Well, good morning again, and thank you very much for coming. Sorry? You want me to? I'm going to introduce the session. Yeah. So this is a session on the ICANN engagement strategy for Europe. We've had previous sessions at the last two ICANN meetings. And this is a session to update where we are on the engagement strategy. A survey has been recently launched, which Andrea will explain, and also to have a discussion on some of the concrete actions which could come under the engagement strategy for Europe. I'm Nigel Hickson. I'm the Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement in Europe, based in Brussels, and Andrea Bacalli is my colleague who has spearheaded this strategy with us. We're joined on the panel, and we'll have some other panelists joining us as well. As you know, everyone multitasks in this environment. So, going from the right, Lee Hibbard from the Council of Europe, and I'll ask the panelists when they speak to introduce themselves a bit more. But Lee, many of you know, has done a lot of work on internet governance issues, and ICANN has an ongoing and close relationship with the Council of Europe, which we're very very proud of indeed. So thank you, Lee, for coming along. We then have next to him Danko Joftovic, which is, I'm bound to have said wrong, who's my friend, who looked after me when I went to Belgrade in the snow. Danko is chief executive of the .RS country code registry in Serbia. And thank you for coming. We also have a couple of other panelists which we'll introduce when they come later. So thank you very much. And without further ado, I'll hand over in a second to Andrea to take you through some of the survey work we've been doing and where we are on the strategy. But before we do so, let me just emphasize that the European engagement strategy is part of the overall sort of strategic dialogue which we're having in ICANN. As you know, there are regional strategies for the Middle East. There's regional strategy for Africa. Yesterday, one of the concrete initiatives under the strategy for Africa, namely the signing of .Africa, took place, and a lot of work has been gone on in Latin America and the Caribbean in terms of the regional strategy there as well. So ICANN has a policy of trying to reflect what the region wants in terms of a strategy. There's no set formula. There's no set format, if you like, for an engagement strategy. It depends what the community wants. It depends what the needs of the region are. It depends what the objectives are. So, Andrea, thank you.
Thank you, Nigel, and good morning, everybody. So, my name is Andrea Beccali. I work out of the Brussels office as manager for regional engagement for Europe. So, I will be brief, and I won't take too long, because I would like really to have some discussions with you. I will take you through some slides and then pass through the panelists, and then go back to have some more concrete discussion on how to move forward. And okay, let's go on that one. Well, that's just introducing ourselves. That's a short agenda I would like to go through. Okay, that's one where I would like to spend just a couple of minutes. So when we started looking at the strategy, myself, Nigel, and the Brussels office, and also with the rest of the global stakeholder engagement team, we started looking, we need to address some key issues here. Identifying the needs of the community was the dragging one, and saying, is there a need for a strategy? Is there something that is not always something that we feel, but the community actually within I can feel? And also we started also moving forward from considering ICANN as a whole multi-stakeholder organization and not only as us in the office trying to design the whole strategy and policies of the organization. And then coherence and impact within ICANN. So is this strategy that we want to drive from the community, is that part of, or how do we ensure that it's part of our, and I see another of our panelists, sorry for interrupting. Julia, you just can come here and sit on the, yes, that's one of.
Julia, please come and join us. Thank you so much.
And, so how this one, we make sure that it's part of what ICANN's remit is, and also what ICANN roles within the larger internet governance ecosystem. And then one thing that we wanted to make clear, because we are sitting, our office is in Brussels, we're just sitting in front of the European Commission, and Brussels seems to be one of the global hub for lobbying and lobbyists, and we see that going around. So we wanted to make clear that that's not something for create a lobbying concerted activity from ICANN in Brussels, not at all. That's really an engagement that we want to have with the community already existing in Europe, which is structured, which is well developed, but enlarging this community, recognizing the roles of the other actors in the region, but including other actors that either do not participate to ICANN because they have little knowledge or because they see it as really far away and distant, they don't see their role into that. But on a regional level. Another need that we wanted to map was the idea of building capacities or making sure that existing stakeholders in Europe, they can use the strategy to develop their knowledge, to develop their skills, and to make the most of use of ICANN global experience in issues that can be of their interest. And then something that we wanted really to make sure of is that we are starting on the ICANN's remit, but also looking at the role in the internet governance ecosystem, particularly in Europe, because there is a lot of discussion of that. There are a lot of main global players that are based in Europe. And we want to make sure that there is a link that goes beyond the ICANN meeting or the IGF, where some of the participants, for interest or for their mandate, they go to both, but that's it. There is something that's more structured along the year. And, I want to keep going a bit on the interest, as Nigel mentioned before. Regional strategies have been developed so far in the Middle East, in Latin America, in Africa. each of them has different, is responding to different needs and responding to different requirements from the region, but the idea is that they, in a way, they are concerted all together, and they all are part of the global ICANN strategy. So there are relations with other regions. In Europe particularly, there will be a relation, of course, with the Middle East, but with Russia and the CIS states. And so, although there is a geographic distinction there, we want to look at a more issue-based approach and see what are issues that and one of our panelists will look into that, will make better use of one strategy or the other, but not necessarily dividing them so starkly. And keeping a pointer, I put that just there, that's we do are really aware of the regional role and sensitivities within ICANN. And the strategy doesn't have to be seen as something imposed top-down, but we really want to see it coming bottom-up, and that's why the issue approach we think is the best one. So that's just a slide to puzzle you up, since it's early in the morning. That's how ICANN is jotting down the strategic plan development. And we do want that for the next one, so this one goes still out to the end of 2014, the regional strategies, they have the direct structured input into that beyond the already existing ICANN policy development process. So as Nigel said, we just launched a survey that I ask you if you didn't take the survey, just at the end of the slide we'll give you some indication how to get there. But we are getting some early data on that, which are, I think, are quite interesting. So we do see that there is a clear distinction between what I call acquainted, so people that or stakeholders already are participating in their long-standing part of the ICANN community, and what I call newcomers or externals, so people that are just coming to ICANN or are completely outside, although they do see and then they understand that ICANN is there. So it came clear that a large participation and taking unrepresented stakeholders and communities into is a positive and is a request that comes, so kind of meets what we are doing before, the mapping need. And then we got some clear indication that, yes, ICANN's remit is the starting point and the end point of one at the same time, but the impact of the ICANN remit in the larger EG is of interest of those that took the survey. ICANN globalization came across, actually, as one of, I think, is the second top goal for the strategy. So here it's also interesting to see how Europe can play a key role in this period of transition from ICANN. And then numbers and figures, maybe we can take you through that, but we don't have enough data yet to give definitive results from the survey. So as the next steps, we want to spread the survey out. We're not putting a deadline for the survey to be filled. We really want to use it as a way to gather as much data as possible. But we do have some ideas to move forward. One, and that's these are the things that we like to discuss with you. One is to organize a pre-event at the Eurodig. The Eurodig is the European Internet Governance. It's one of the most developed internet governance event across the globe. And is 12th and 13th of June in Berlin. Well, the idea will be, let's see if we can gather ICANN stakeholders that are going to be there and make a pre-event the day before and look at ICANN issues, and let's see how much we can tackle also from participants to the Eurodig and cross the two communities. The other two points is that looking at the developments that we just heard of on the IANA transition and the AOC development, whether we can look at the strategy as a way to gather all European inputs to these two important processes, and in a way to make sure that we can coordinate on that. And then one of what I would consider an important milestone is the ICANN 50 London, because that's going to be a large and important ICANN meeting, which is happening in Europe. and would be really important to go there with a structured approach from the strategy. So in a matter of organizing sessions or bringing up issues to be discussed, we can make advantage of the strategy for that. And these are just our coordinates. You can see at the end the link for the community wiki, which is a space that is in the ICANN pages. And there you can also find the link to the survey, but I'll circulate this around. Okay, so without further ado, I'll pass to our speakers. We'll go into specific details of that. I will start with you, Jatko, if you can, from your perspective, if you can see how you would take advantage of a strategy in both senses, to vehiculate which are your interests and needs, but at the same time, how it can be a way to develop capacities and expertise. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Serbian registry is actually the youngest European registry, so we usually take the lead from the older and bigger registries. And also we now see that this ICANN's European engagement strategy is developing, but we would like to participate in a way to recognize the specifics of our region and the specifics of the way how organization works. Serbia is in between countries, so we are part of the Eastern Europe and we are also on our way to European Union, so we are through that part of this European strategy. But we also have some regional specifics, like our primary script is Cyrillic. We also use Latin script, but we have regional significant regional cooperation and regional issues about supporting those specifics. Like we cooperate with Macedonia, Bulgaria, also Greek script is specific. So in this way, we have these regional issues. On the other hand, we are also a country that is coming from former Yugoslavia, so we have some similar development paths like the other countries from that region. So in that way, we recognize this European engagement strategy has to be inclusive about all the regional specifics for the regions like ours. So this is one of the main things we would like to try to input into this. So the recognition of these all specifics.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean that's something that I see that as a clear advantage of having a regional strategy, of being able to identify needs that are shared by communities in the region, and see how ICANN can be of help in addressing those needs. So this one of a community which has some linguistic issues, which has some common problems to address, then it can be strengthened to the approach of the strategy. So thank you for your contribution. Now, I would like to pass to Lee, which actually is representing the largest European Europe-based IGO, and which is very active in internet governance, and actually active in internet governance in maybe even, well, for sure, earlier than ICANN is active in the internet governance. And so it will be interesting to see how the two organizations can be connecting and contributing, and whether the strategy could be a way to go that, or one of the ways.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for the invitation. So yes, my name is Lee Hibbard. I work for the Council of Europe, one of those traditional IGOs that people refer to in speeches early this week, with 47 countries, member states, with the European Court of Human Rights, with conventions like the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, conventions on data protection, conventions actually which actually are signed by countries outside of Europe too. So they actually can be quite global and be a baseline at a global level. And the Council of Europe is an observer to the GAC since 2010, and is also one of the supporters of EURODIG, European Dialogue on Internet Governance, the European IGF, since its inception. Sorry, you can't hear me. Since its inception, we've been very supportive of the EURODIG, the European IGF. And so, you know, we have these ambassadors which sit in Strasbourg, and they talk about content questions, which may or may not concern you, but we're talking about net neutrality IPv6 transition, perhaps. IP addresses which are a public interest resource. We talk about content questions regarding the cross-border flow of internet traffic. That's a new topic coming up. I have a whole list of adopted texts here in front of me, normative texts, baselines, which bridge between human rights, the rule of law, democracy issues, and the internet from a point of view of content and technical aspects. So for me, you can't disassociate them. I mean, where we talk about technical issues, there are also public policy issues, and you see that in the work of ICANN. You see the things fusing together. It's incumbent on the Council of Europe to look at this also from a technical point of view. So, looking at the cross-border flow of internet traffic at the technical level is having an impact on freedom of expression and issues like privacy, etc. So, and there's much work ahead. And I was just looking back at a text which we did with APC and UNECE on. On a code of good practice on information participation and transparency in internet governance in 2010. Not something adopted, but something shared. I'm thinking about texts we do with ISPs, for example, with online games providers. So what I'd like to conclude by saying, Andrea, is that there is a lot of normative stuff out there adopted by a lot of countries together which see the internet from a technical point of view as having an impact on content and vice versa. There is a natural synergy between the ICANN and the Council of Europe. It's a traditional IGO, which is, I think, very progressively multi-stakeholder. It's important to be here. That's why I'm here. It's important to be here in the future. I think the key is, though, to try to find... I think the strategy is very good to have this strategy, because I ask myself the question, what is the role of IGOs, really? Where do they fit in? In the different communities in ICANN, and I know you know much more than I, but there's a lot of moving trains which have already left the station, and it's there's lots of acronyms and there's lots of groups which are already formed for a long time. So to enter into the ICANN sphere and to contribute meaningfully is a challenge. You really need to have been on that station, the platform, when the train arrived, and if you didn't and the train left, then catching up is quite challenging. So I think that the thing I'd like to finish by saying is that, you know, at least from an IGO perspective, to do something meaningful within the mandate of an IGO for ICANN or with ICANN requires advance warning, early engagement, and some sort of active engagement by saying, you know, come and help us work out sensitive GTLDs, give us some expertise, or what are the privacy implications from your point of view regarding who is database. You know, maybe even trademarks and freedom of expression, you know, the UDRP, for example. I mean, there are lots of issues, lots of human rights issues there, which we haven't been really tasked with engaging with yet, but I think we could be engaging with in the near future. So I see lots of relationships and synergies to be had. And I think that's reflected in the fact that we have ICANN has this high-level panel, with President Tuomas Ilves, for example, and MINCSERF, in which our Secretary General is taking part too. So I think, you know, the synergies are there, and we need to do more.
Thank you, Lee. I mean, it's good to hear these things, and also to remember that ICANN is a very young organization. It's 15 years old, and by the outset wasn't... not even thinking that it would have been dealing with all these issues when it was formed. So, in a way, this is a process and it's happening really fast now because the events are bringing us to that. But I do see that it is time that we get this kind of relationship much more structured. And I appreciate that you see the strategy as an opportunity to do that. Okay. Now, just to look into some other issues that I can... is impacted and not necessarily is looking at closely. And I will pass to Yulia to just give a few words on that. Is the role of vulnerable people and whether they have or not already a place in ICANN, that's one issue. But how we can make sure that ICANN is also looking at those things, it's what will make the strategy really successful, in my view. So, Yulia, why don't you just give you a few points and see? Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. Actually, I was not supposed to be as a speaker here, so I discovered this morning and took a few notes on what I would like to bring to the table. Actually, my name is Yulia Moranets, and I'm with the organization called Check Together Against Cybercrime International. We work mainly on cybercrime and cybersecurity. Now, one of our focus is vulnerable people in the information society. How have we arrived to this subject? We have realized during our research that actually vulnerable people are more fragile with regard to internet dangers. And afterwards, we had a look on, you know, is it only vulnerable people and internet dangers, or are vulnerable people present in the information society? And we realized that actually they are even are not really present in the information society and concerning the topics related to the information society. So from there, we launched a number of discussions during the IGF and Eurodic events and launched a project and the working group on vulnerable people in the information society. When I speak about vulnerable people, I refer to the definition given by the Tunis Agenda and the WISIS process mainly, which englobe different groups of disadvantaged people. And of course, this issue is a global one, but I think we do have particularities and different aspects we can address within Europe. For example, if we take a group such as migrants. What I wanted to say is with the different initiatives going on today and the increasing interest to this subject, and namely, for example, the projects such as Connect the Disconnected and other topics, I think ICANN should pay particular attention and specifically within its strategy for Europe to this particular target group, which is vulnerable people, and bring ICANN to the new end users and bring new end users to ICANN and to the subjects such as internet governance and all aspects which are covered by ICANN. And of course, this could reconfirm ICANN in its leading role as a leader in the multi-stakeholder model, which will include also the, unprecedented users, which are vulnerable people. And so last point I would like to underline that last year we had a workshop co-organized with the government of Portugal during the Eurodic, which is the European Dialogue on Internet Governance. And one of the points of the resolution, would say, of this workshop or of the recommendations of this workshop was to urge ICANN to pay particular attention to this target group, vulnerable people, and to maybe this is why it would be very interesting because it came from the community to include this as a point in the strategy for Europe. So. These are my two cents, and we'll be happy to discuss. Well, maybe last point, we know that it was created the working group on accessibility within ICANN. It's a recent working group, so I think this will go completely with the ICANN priorities, and maybe Europe could become a leader or have a pilot project or present pilot ideas on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's just pause there a minute. We've got a final panelist that will be known to everyone, who I'll introduce at the moment. But I just wanted to give a chance for anyone to reflect on the last two sort of presentations or the last two interventions, because essentially what we're describing here is activities which within Europe we could do some further work on, we could do some further coordination, we could do some further integration on. And I think this is very interesting because it reflects the diverse participation, the diverse community we have in what we call Europe. And on the one hand, in the Balkans, the group of country code domains that are dealing with fairly sort of new communities in some respects, but also communities with different languages and different scripts, which I think has a particular feature. And then, as Julia mentioned, although in Europe we often congratulate ourselves, as we did in the when the Boston Consulting Group came out, that report came out in terms of the high level of participation in broadband and the internet, but how we clearly see that there are vulnerable people, there are people in our communities that are not having access and not having the use of the internet and not getting the advantages that many of us have. So if anyone would want to say something at the moment, I should have recognized earlier Sebastian Bachelet from the ICANN board. Sebastian, sorry I didn't recognize you earlier. Thank you very much for coming along. Sebastian has done incredible work for us in Europe in the engagement team, but that's, if you like, not so important as the work he's done in the wider community for the at-large and with Eurallo. So thank you, Sebastian. But let's take a couple of interventions and then we'll carry on. If people could say who they are.
Thanks, Nigel. Chris Chapler from the Business Constituency.
Thank you, Chris.
It's not a comment on the interventions we've just had, but I'm just trying to clarify in my own mind where we're heading with all this, because I'm a little bit confused. I'm assuming we're trying to create a European engagement strategic plan, which will be in writing, and then the community can comment on that. Is that where we're going?
Well, what we're doing, as Andrea said earlier, there's a survey. We've had a couple of these meetings. It was decided after the last meeting we ought to seek some further evidence. So that's what we're doing by having the survey. But we're trying to identify the type of work that the engagement strategy might do. And one of the questions the survey works is what sort of form the engagement strategy should take, whether we have a working group, whether we have a more open structure. So no, we don't plan to come out with a 40-page strategic document. I mean, obviously we'll have something written for London 50 to reflect the responses from the survey.
Well, my comment is, I think we're just going round and round in a circle, frankly. Without anything written, it's very difficult for the community to get their teeth in or to comment on anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Roberto Gaetano. I have a couple of hats in this process, but today I'm speaking in my strictly personal capacity. And I think that my concern is what is the major obstacle in developing all this discussion about a strategy for ICANN in Europe, and which is the current disregard and disrespect of ICANN for some elements of the European legislations that ICANN is repeatedly refusing to include, to take into account when developing rules and regulations, including but not limited to agreements with the registries and the registrars. And I think that the first element of a strategy in Europe, as I have said also in the survey, will be to blend well with and take into account the diversity of Europe, even in the rules of law. Thank you.
And thank you very much. And thanks for your engagement all along in this process, your personal engagement, and thank you for those comments, and we'll certainly come back to that element in a minute, because Michele is going to talk. He's not going to give us a lecture on the RAA 13. Well, he might, but we've asked him not to.
But try stopping me.
I wouldn't try stopping you doing anything, but he will comment on, I think, on that legislative issue. But Sebastian, please.
Yes, thank you.
Sebastian, so sorry if I interrupt. Just to add a couple of words. Actually, my mind, and I think we discussed that with Nigel, this issue, I mean, as a European citizen, not as an ICANN employee, honestly also strikes me, right? And in my view is that probably if we would have had a strategy, would have been able to convey this problem at an earlier stage in the ICANN policy development process. So maybe not, but the strategy could be actually, well, the way to make sure that regional needs and sensibilities are actually taken account and not having to deal with that at the end of the road, which is much more difficult.
I am not sure that that's the end of the process, and I am sure that there are people who say that since a long time in this discussion within ICANN. And Andrea, I can't take that as granted. I am sure that Michele put that in the process long time before we have them to sign anything, ask them to sign anything. And my impression here is that what we need to do it's how we want to be multi-stakeholder organized. And to take, it was not my intention, but to build on what Roberto said, is it just a question of the registrar, or is it a question of our region with all the stakeholders? And if it's the latter, then please, Michele, engage other voice with you on that subject, coming from other part of the community. Your voice will be here more louder. It will be more important. And it's not to say you didn't do a great job. And I am not talking as board member, because you send me a lot of tomatoes on that issue. But that's okay, no problem. But I would like very much that at the end of this discussion, we find a way to work together. It's not the staff to organize us. It's us to be organized. And I think we need to take into account what's happened in other regions. For example, yesterday, APRALO, the regional at-large organization from Asia-Pacific and other little island like Australia, signed an agreement, or MOU, with both the APTLDs and the CCTLD of the region and the APNICs area of the region. When we will be able to do the same thing in Europe? Next point, when we say we have some trouble here, or we would like, what Julia say about disability, is it to ICANN to handle that? No. It is our duty to find ILSs who are more in this vein to take care of that and to come with this issue. We can't wait for staff to do. We have to handle our work. If we can't, we can have help from them. But it's not, hey, guys, Nigel, I need you tomorrow to write something. You need you to do something. No, we may have some help from them, but we need to do our work. And finally, I really think that we need not to be completely schizophrenic. Which Europe we are talking about? Here, I see in this table one who is the full Europe from Brest to Brest-Litovsk, but all the other are just from one part, and from staff, sorry, but the name I have here is the name of Western Europe or the European Union. You live in Paris, Julia, sorry. But it's not the question of we need to have also the staff from CISS or from Russia and the other country around. There is a trouble here. We need to put that on the table too. But I would have been happy to have the staff engage in this region too, because it's still Europe. We can't have just one of our arm here, and fortunately, Council of Europe is here, and he's the one covering the full Europe. And thank you very much to do that. But staff need to do the same, and we as community need to do the same. And I am sure that part of the community is here like that. Thank you very much. And by the way, I was not talking on behalf of anybody with any hat. Unfortunately, I was not able to speak French, but it's next time. Merci.
Thank you very much, Sebastian, and thank you for your comments and always your engagement on this. I'm conscious that Michele ought to get a chance to...
It's okay, Nigel. Look, Nigel, everybody hears me a lot.
Do they? No.
No, but look, it's more interesting and more useful for people, let the people who are here in the room come Absolutely. Up to the mic and have a go at ICANN staff. That's much more entertaining. I'm only joking, Nigel.
No, not at all. Please, we'll take two more interventions. We'll let Michele say a few words, and then it'll be nice to hear some other voices. I recognise quite a lot of people here that have a lot of experience in these issues. So,
Rudy van Snick from ANPOC, a Belgian citizen. I'm not going to repeat what Sebastian was saying already, so that's airspace saved already. But I would like to underline that as our organisation, our constituency, ANPOC, being the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency that looks into all the difficulties that NGOs encounter in what ICANN is doing, should be one of the members of the panel in order to illustrate that it's not just one group or another group, it's the whole community that has to be on the discussions and not just isolating for some specific domains or some specific topics. We need to open up the discussion so that NGOs also have a word to say. Because what I see is that in this week, there has been a lot of strategy on the table, but very often NGOs are forgotten. And that's the mission of ANPOC, and I'm engaging and committing myself to be active, because London is not in 3 months, it's tomorrow. So I hope we consider to take this up for London. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Leslie Cowley, I don't think, needs too much introduction. I mean, I don't usually introduce people that are speaking.
I don't know everybody.
But no, but Leslie, thank you very much from Nominet.
Leslie Cowley, CEO of Nominet.uk. Nigel, I have a big sense of deja vu. So we had the very first meeting talking about the European strategy, and one of the very first questions was, what is Europe? And if I remember rightly, we spent a lot of time trying to talk about what was Europe and the European Commission and members of Europe and so on, and so this feels rather familiar. And at that same meeting, we were also talking about what do we need a strategy for, what is it trying to achieve, and I still don't have any clarity on that, so I'm afraid I'm going to repeat myself on this. But what is this strategy for? Is this about awareness of ICANN, etc.? What are we actually trying to achieve? Because then we can develop initiatives that serve it. And that's why I think Chris's point about the need for a written strategy is a good one, because it would be really helpful for the very diverse and engaged community in Europe to know what we are all trying to achieve and how we can support you in it through the many established channels in Europe, whether it's the CC community or the NGO community and others. There's a lot of resource to draw upon. But there's a danger if we're not clear about what it is you're trying to achieve. We will all go around not achieving it. And that's about the third time we've said this, so I'll just say it again.
Sorry, thank you, Leslie. Klaus.
Klaus Stoll, Hessian region of Europe. Very quickly, I think I would summarize it quite simply. We don't need a survey. All we need a survey which is a needs assessment. And secondly, I'm the first fan of ICANN staff bashing, but this time it's on us. And I think the previous speaker already said it. I think we need to make clear as a European ICANN participants what we need and what we want and what has to be done. And we have to get staff to work for us after we told them what we actually need, and not wait for staff telling us what we need. I think I know what I need, and I will, after that, communicate very clearly what I want and what I need, and I will make them work. But if we all the others don't do the same, we're just going back and saying, again, a meeting, again, a meeting, again, a meeting, again, a meeting, and see you in London.
Thank you. We'll certainly come back on that in a second. Yes, please.
Thank you, Nigel. Pierre Bonis from AFNIC.fr. I would like to thank you because I think there is some progress since Durban. In Durban, we had a discussion on is it only ICANN engagement strategy, or what is the ICANN lobbyist strategy part? And from what I hear today, you've dropped the ICANN lobby strategy part. I mean, this is something that you have to do, but it has nothing with convening all the stakeholders to know what is the ICANN lobby strategy. And you are focusing on engagement, so I think this is a progress. And that's a good thing. The other thing, perhaps, is that as Andrea spoke about the current debate on INR transition and the need to organize the debate on that. I think as long as we are talking about things that are at the heart of ICANN work, this is very good that ICANN staff try to help us organizing the debates locally. But if I can elaborate a little bit on what the representative of Council of Europe said, I would be concerned if the ICANN strategy overlaps the IGFs. There are a lot of very important questions you raised that, to me, are not really fitting within ICANN today. And I would really like ICANN strategy to stick on what ICANN does, ICANN mission, and not to go to content and human rights. This is dealt within IGF, and this is a different forum. Thank you.
And thank you very much for those constructive remarks. Thank you. Michele, Lee, and then Michele.
Thank you for the comments. I think they were very good comments, and you know, the strategy, what it is and what it's not, the scope of the strategy is very, very important, because what it's not is, it might mean I don't need to come to every ICANN meeting, for example. You know, I mean, it's a big work and an engagement to come and take part in a four-day meeting, and it's very expensive. And so it's very important to find out, you know, when we have a role, I mean, we, an IGO, for example, and when we don't have a role. When I come to these meetings personally, you know, you meet technical community, but it's a silo for me, because you don't really, perhaps, it's not within your, maybe your interest to know more about the issues regarding where technical issues meet content issues and human rights issues. I often find, listen to some of the discussions, it goes in a technical route and it stays there. Yet sometimes people talk about these issues on panels. And I had the feeling sometimes it's as if we should come to ICANN because ICANN's where we're discussing it. I know that's not the case, Andrea, but you know, there are a lot of other spaces whereby we're talking about these issues from a human rights and a technical point of view, and very rightly ICANN comes to the Council of Europe meetings. So we have to meet in the middle, but we have to be very clear about when we meet in the middle, and that's not necessarily every time, that's all. So, but the question about... the question about what the role of the community is about legitimacy. You know, the role of the community and the obligations of that community. Yesterday I mentioned about the obligations and commitments of member states, because they have roles, but they have responsibilities. So if the community has a role, what is obligations and commitments? That needs to be worked out. Maybe the strategy should be very clear upon the scope and also the obligations and commitments of the community in that regard. So it makes it easier to follow thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you. Julia, do you want to say something?
Just quickly, I wanted to thank Sebastian for his comments. Concerning that, it's up to us, up to Alice as well, if we speak about at large, to bring concerns and to... But I think also that we have to see this strategy as a kind of facilitator which just help us, as Alice, for example, to be together and to come out with the concrete points we are concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. Michele, please.
Sorry about that. The gentleman was to my left was making a comment in my ear. I think I know a lot of you, but for those of you who don't, I'm Michele Nalan. I'm CEO and founder of Black Knight. We're a hosting company and registrar based in Ireland. I'm involved in a lot of the acronyms around internet-related stuff. Not just internet governance, because I think that's a terribly boring, dry subject. I prefer the kind of stuff where I can actually make some money, because I am a capitalist swine and happy to admit to as such. This entire thing around ICANN's plans to maybe do something at a hypothetical point in the future is confusing. I've heard feedback from other people at this session. I've seen people talking about it in other areas, and it's unclear exactly what ICANN is trying to do. And I suppose that's partially our fault because we haven't told them clearly what they should do. But the reality is that for many of the people sitting in this room that I recognise, you're all involved in a lot of other things. You know that. Coming up with a strategy for Europe, while a nice idea, is you're probably a little bit more distracted by the other things you're already involved with. So I'm looking around the room, I see people from Centre, I see Eurodig, Euralo, RIPE, NCC, I see members of the Registrar Stakeholder Group, I see CCTLD operators from both Western, Central and Eastern Europe. From my perspective, I mean, sure, I've been very vocal about certain things around ICANN and how it handles Europeans. And we could go down the rat hole about talking about data protection, data privacy. We could spend the rest of the afternoon arguing about it, but I think we'd all generally agree. The issue is that ICANN views the world through American eyes. It tries to push everything through an American legal structure, to engage us in an American conversation in English. The fact that we face challenges in Europe a lot of the time is due to a linguistic barrier. You'll hear my voice loudly because I was fortunate enough to be born in a country where the first language is English. But there are a lot of people within the community who do not feel confident enough in English to be able to go up to a microphone and say what they feel. They might post something on a mailing list, but if they do so in a language other than English, other people criticize them, which I find, ridiculous. English is a minority language in Europe. I'm not sure exactly which language is the majority language, but it's definitely not English. I look around the room, I see starting over there, we have Dutch speakers, Flemish, kind of Dutch, but not quite. We have French of sorts. We've got Catalan, Spanish, Italian, German, Flemish, not sure, English possibly. French, English, German, Serbian. I'm just looking around the room. There's a wide diversity just... And Russian. There's Russian as well. Sorry. I don't know them all. You know, how can I deal with all of this? I think ICANN's role, as the lady said, it should be a facilitation. I mean, I would agree with Sebastian that it's up to us to a certain degree, but the reality is We all have day jobs. Well, at least I do. I don't know. I mean, some of you may not have day jobs, but I think most of you have day jobs. We can't focus our energies on ICANN and all these other things when we're trying to make ends meet, deal with our shareholders, deal with our families, and of course, you know, feeding our cats. ICANN's role in a lot of this should be one of facilitation. But I think it's done a very poor job of engaging in languages other than English. And I think that should be a starting point. Now, I don't know what the answer is, but I think talking about it a lot isn't helpful. It needs to be something clear, even if it's a one-page sheet. You know, ICANN will do X or will try to do Y. At a simple level, I think it's, you know, the questions I ask is, you know, why on earth doesn't ICANN have a legal structure in Europe? Why is ICANN incorporated solely in the United States? If ICANN was incorporated in Europe, a lot of the issues Europeans would have would pretty much vanish. Why is it that we have to deal with a US corporation for everything? If you're giving money to ICANN or getting money from ICANN, it all goes back to the US. Yet ICANN has staff in Europe who I assume get paid in euros. Or Andrea, do you get paid in dollars?
Yen.
Ah, okay. So Andrea especially gets paid in dollars. But no, I mean, jokes aside, I mean, this is, you know, if it's really talking about globalization and internationalization, I mean, look at practical things. You know, allow us to allow registrars and registries to pay ICANN in euro. Allow the CCTLDs, if they want to support ICANN, to be able to do so quickly and easily to a European bank account. I mean, there's extra costs there. I don't know. There's so many things you could look at, but you know, instead we shouldn't be talking about it. We should actually be acting.
Thank you very much. Yes, in Brussels we're paid in euros and luncheon vouchers, actually.
So you're not paid in British pounds, Nigel?
No. I find the luncheon vouchers more useful than the euros sometimes. But no, we're not paid in dollars or pounds. We're incorporated in Brussels. Oscar, thank you, and we'll come back to some of your points, because I think you've touched on something very important indeed, which I think we should address: the language issue, the legal issue, the incorporation issue. And I want to certainly take the advantage of addressing that. And I was going to recognise Bertrand Lachapelle, a former board member, but he's put himself in the queue, so he'll be able to introduce himself. I'm very grateful that he's here. And Paul Rendick, now also standing in the queue from Rife NCC, and we're very, very grateful that Paul is here. I mean, we didn't ask him to come, but no, I mean, I'm grateful for you to be here, Paul. And Rife NCC, of course, do an incredible job in Europe, and we work with them in European issues. But Oskana.
Thank you, Oksana Prikhotka, Ukraine. Actually, in email list of URL, we had discussion of political signal, which was done by appointment of Russian representative as vice president for some European countries. I am absolutely sure that the appointment of Michael Yakushev is absolutely good political signal, because he is an excellent expert who can help to bring our region to the real European level standards. But I can't understand the political signal which was done by this dividing of Europe. As Sebastian said, on Western and Eastern Europe, what really you would like to achieve by such a division? For me, Europe is the Council of Europe. I know that there are some problems with ICANN regional regional division. And I know that within RIPE we have also absolutely different division. What is the aim? Thank you.
I'm certainly going to address that.
Hi, so I'm Bertrand Lachapelle. I honestly don't really know where to start. I mean, the whole question of what we're discussing here is becoming a little bit fuzzy for me, honestly. If I take just Michele and Lee's comment, it covers a whole range that describes the amount of things that can be done. If I take Michele without repeating what he said, there are very concrete elements that are small signals, and I think it's a very interesting track. If I look at Lee, what I pick from what he said is in the sentence that I am an IGO, we are an IGO that is becoming more and more multi-stakeholder. In the whole debate of multi-stakeholderism versus multilateral and so on, we have a rare example in Europe of one organization that is doing tremendous efforts to combine the two, the best of both worlds. This is a huge leverage. They have been extremely helpful. It's not just to praise Lee and his team, but they have been extremely helpful in creating the Eurodig. They are involved in issues that are not related to the substance of what ICANN does. I mean, freedom of expression, human rights, and so on, is something that ICANN is not supposed to do. But those organizations are going to be leading the way in the debate that is going to come on the general internet governance. There is a real discussion about how the lessons that they draw from multi-stakeholder processes connected to IGOs as a sort of actual bottom-up, like just plugging multi-stakeholder processes inside supposed to be hierarchical intergovernmental processes. This is an avenue that needs to be explored. The challenge in dealing with Europe on our issues is also related to the number of actors who are there. In a certain way, it's harder because it's too rich. There are too many actors. We're involved. We have our hands in all possible pies. But what is interesting is if you take RIPE, if you take Centre, if you take a lot of other structures that have their heart in Europe, the reality is that they expand beyond and that there is a radiation in a certain way that allows for growth. I mean, Pierre Bonis is there. If you look at AFNIC as an international college that reaches out to other regions through Francophonie, there's a Commonwealth there. How is that structured as a general angle of approach? Most of the actors who are based in Europe, in a certain way, the irony is that the actors who are based in the US are extremely strong and powerful commercial actors. Strangely enough, in Europe, there are very interesting networks of other types of actors. And I don't know if it's good that we're specialized in that dimension versus the commercial. Sometimes it would be great to have 20 big Googles in Europe. But this is a major asset. This is something that brings trust. I mean, the work that RIPE, the work that AFNIC and all the CCTLDs are doing in other regions is something that is bringing, I would say, a trust in the technical community and the technical system. And ICANN actually has a huge capacity to help them and leverage them so that the trust spreads. Just a few ideas. There are many, many things, but we need to look at the strategy towards Europe, like all the other regions, as being specific and related to what are the characteristics of Europe. It's not about making ICANN well or better known. It's making it interacting with the actors who are in Europe and who can be leveraged. And there are also many political issues that may arise in the relationship with the number of governments that are in the GAC. I mean, that makes it a very particular region.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Rendick, and I'm the Director of External Relations for the RIPE NCC. I just really wanted to echo what our colleague Leslie had mentioned here. I think it's very important to understand what kind of engagement we need to have. And I think that organizing this by committee, by a large committee and panelists and what have you, may be a little bit of a strange approach, even, I think, for Europeans. I think possibly the approach of maybe having a round table of open discussions and listing some of the larger issues on a blackboard somewhere, on a whiteboard, or in your, or however we would like to do that, is a start. I can very much appreciate the struggles you have with engaging with your community, because we also have a very large community in the RIPE entity of 76 countries that we need to get around. I think our definition of Europe is very big. I mean, Bertrand, thank you very much, because we did start very much in the heart of Europe, and we kind of have expanded beyond that. But I think maybe actually we can reflect on some of the other things that have happened inside of ICANN when we look at engagement in the communities. The Africans and the Arab world, I think, actually did a pretty nice job of coming together and putting their document together of things that were important for their engagement within ICANN. And although Europe is very large, I understand that, I think that we're probably bright enough to come together and maybe list some of those large issues down and have a starting point somewhere. It's impossible for us to probably cover all of the things that everyone would like to engage in inside of the ICANN space. But I do also want to warn, be very careful what you're putting into this. One of our colleagues did mention that there were topics that were being brought here that are probably a little bit more suited for the IGF. And let's not confuse what we're supposed to be doing here. We have one very large task ahead of us, and that is the transition from the U.S. government stewardship over IANA. Now, as Europeans, or as RIPE NCC, I can tell you that our community has been talking about this and wanting this to happen for a very long time. This is not a new issue for us. In fact, I think it's been on the table with us for some from 12 to 15 years or so. So this is not a new debate here. I think that this is probably something that can very nicely unite the Europeans for a discussion. It's one great place to start. We cannot cover everything. But I really do want to echo what Leslie had said. She said it very, very nicely. We need to find out and document what that engagement is so that we can start. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Klaus, do you?
Yeah, sorry, it's me, Klaus, again. Bertrand just triggered me when he talked about what's ICANN supposed to do and what it's not supposed to do. I'm very, very much aware what ICANN is supposed to do, but also what ICANN should do. And what ICANN is missing and what bites its bigly, greatly now, especially in the new developments, is that it doesn't have something like a corporate social responsibility program. ICANN affects a lot of things on the outside, like child online abuse, and is affected by these things. There's a lot of topics which ICANN affects and doesn't affect, and has nothing to do with the charter or with the bylaws of ICANN. And we need to, I think, Europe, with its diversity, and with also the ability on its topics, and for example, things like the European Commission, who's tackling these things. All I'm trying to say is maybe the corporate social responsibility program for ICANN should be initiated out of Europe.
Thank you very much. I'm conscious of the time, but I want. Thank you. Yeah, Lee, did you want to say?
I just want to say thank you. I'm not from the European Commission. I'm from the Council of Europe, and the Council of Europe is saying, is an IGO, it's not a European institution. But I just wanted to say that, I mean, you know, the scope of what you do is very important. At the same time, this discussion is a question of maturity, and we need to have this discussion again to understand, but with time maturity, things will become clear, I'm sure. A very concrete example is that, you know, we're just starting in the Council to do cooperation programs of assistance. That means we're going to countries with money to roll out activities in Ukraine, you know, in the future, in Kosovo, in Georgia, in other countries, in Central and Eastern Europe in particular. And we'll be talking about internet governance. And I am sure in those discussions that we will need to take along guys like you to respond to the issues which are more technical. But that means that effectively, you know, national strategies in countries are needed, which marry the two together, and they cannot be disassociated. So what the strategy includes and doesn't include, that's one thing. But there will always be a need to bring these things together. There will always be a need to apprise you of, you know, issues which are not maybe technical, but which have an impact on what we do. So therefore, there'll always be a need to at least explain and apprise different communities of things which happen here, which have an impact over there. And I think that will always be the case. Thank you.
Nigel, if I can just make a quick remark following what Klaus said. I'm just a little bit troubled by the expression ICANN's corporate social responsibility. I don't see something like corporate social responsibility for ICANN. ICANN is a international or global public interest organization. That's not a side or a second thought. That's the mission. So I don't want a corporate social responsibility program for ICANN. That would be the corporatization of the organization. I don't question his intentions, but I think we need to be very careful about the words. We are a public interest function. So it's not an afterthought. The second thing that came to mind after I left is Europe is the place where there are a lot of organizations. I mean, we mentioned the Council of Europe, but you get OECD, you get Interpol, you get UNESCO. ITU, by the way, is in the landscape, and everything that is in Geneva is a huge amount of organizations. There's WIPO, which is involved with the UDRP. We mentioned RIPE. There's an element of institutional architecture that is specific to the discussion in Europe, and I think part of the strategy regarding Europe, just part, it's because it's my angle, it's my bias, just like Michele was taking it at a very operational, concrete elements, my natural attitude is to take things at process level. But the whole debate at the moment that is on the agenda internationally, beyond the INF function, which is just one tiny evolution, it's a hugely symbolic evolution, but what is at stake is the international ecosystem for handling issues that are related to law in cyberspace. And Europe is the place where a lot of organizations are based that will have to deal or will be part of the new ecosystem, the additional ecosystem. And if there is one place where there is an interaction that can be developed around this, it is Europe. Not to belittle APEC or ASEAN or Association of American States and so on, but there is a critical mass of institutions in Europe, and if there is one place where the debate on the extension of the ecosystem towards substantive issues of governance on the internet could take place, I think it is in the realm of Europe. But again, it's just my slice. It's only one part of the picture.
Thank you very much, Bertrand. Thank you. Michele.
Thanks. Now, just the way Bertrand kind of raised a point that is very close to my own heart. We are a hosting provider primarily. I mean, you know, domain names, I know this is going to shock some of you. Domain names are not the center of the universe. Oh, I know, it's terrible. Oh la la. Oh la la, quel dommage.
It's a bit late now.
No, but the thing is, I know, I'm sorry, Bertrand. No, but the thing is, I mean, I'm familiar to a certain degree with what Bertrand has been working on. A lot of hosting providers in Europe receive takedown notices from US entities. And if those of you who have the misfortune of following people like me on various social networks will see me ranting about some of the abuse tickets we get. American companies are convinced that a DMCA is valid in Ireland. Hint, it's not. You know, they're convinced that we should get involved in issues around content, or we should get involved or in other issues that are outside our scope. I mean, at what point should a registrar or hosting provider be forced to be the arbiter of what is legal, what is not legal? You know, we have seen situations where companies have come to us demanding that we take action. And if we do not take action, they're going to sue us, which is wonderful. I mean, I do so much love spending quality time with my lawyer. It's got to the point now where not only is he on speed dial, he invited me to his wedding. I mean, you know, can you imagine that? You know, I get invited to my lawyer's wedding. He comes around for lunch from time to time. We sit there, we drink coffee, and then he bills me for it. It's great. You know, but there are issues around this kind of thing. I mean, Bertrand is holding a meeting tomorrow morning, I believe, with people who are still here in Singapore. Unfortunately, I won't be there due to, well, I need to be somewhere else, to talk about some of these things. And, you know, there's no coherent legislation across EU member states. You know, you need to, this is a kind of a bigger issue. It's one of those issues that impacts a lot of us at a practical level. A lot of people come to ICANN meetings and they talk about freedom of speech, they talk about rights, but they tend to forget that a lot of those are not enshrined under European law. They might be enshrined under US law, but they're definitely not under European law. I'll take defamation as being a perfectly simple one. Under US law, I mean, it's great actually, because when I have a go at ICANN, it's a US lawyer that's defending their position. I can say things about ICANN that if I were to say it about an Irish entity or a European entity, I'd end up in a world of pain. For the simple reason that under, oh God, do you want me to shut up? Okay. You know, this is a big issue. I'll keep quiet now, thanks.
Thank you, Michele. Okay, let's just have last two questions, and then I would like just to have 3 minutes to close. And so, please, Wolf, go ahead.
Thanks, Wolf Ludwig, representing Euralo and Eurodic. Just a few short comments. When I came in to ICANN in 2006-2007, the argument I heard most was, this is not in the ICANN remit. Please, stop, shut up. When I came into ICANN, it was my perception and experience at the time that everything was strictly regarded by US glasses. The people sitting in Brussels representing ICANN only understood American perceptions, but were not even interested in any special European sensitivity, priority, or whatsoever. So this has changed tremendously over the last couple of years, to be honest. When we here sit together now to talk about approaches of a European strategy, this is compared with 6-7 years ago, a very big step ahead. So we are talking completely, dealing with completely different issues than a couple of years ago. And so this, we are going at least into the right direction. And if somebody shows up now and saying, this is not really in the ICANN remit, I don't care anymore, but I also know we have alternatives, or we have complementary foras. In the meantime, we have Eurodic. So everything what is not entirely into, we have every year a regional event which became quite popular, which became almost the European IGF. And this is a very important additional element, in my opinion. And below Eurodic, we have the national IGFs, 14 to 15 national IGFs. So there are platforms present where discussions can be made on internet governance-related issues. And then, after the annual Eurodic, we put this on the higher level when we represent Eurodic at the global IGF. So I think there are lots of opportunities we can use and we shouldn't miss. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. Best Sebastian, and then if you leave me 1 minute. Then
it will be 30 seconds. Just to tell you that in the other room, they are talking about the same subject, and I wanted to read you one tweet. It will be helpful if ICANN AP, Asia Pacific Hub, could facilitate dialogue between stakeholders in different parts of the region. I really think that we can endorse this statement for Europe too. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Okay, Nigel, go.
Yes, well, thank you. Do any of the panelists want to just say a final 20, 30 seconds before I try and summarize a couple of points? Lee, do you want?
Very, very short. I think this is I repeat the question of maturity. This is a question of maturity. This is a very young organization, ICANN. Compared to other organizations, it's very, very in its infancy, one could say. And these discussions are necessary. And, you know, eventually that discussion will mature and you will have more clarity. I mean, this is necessary. Thank you.
I find it much easier talking here than, not necessarily talking here, but certainly not talking behind a desk. So I wanted to... Does any of the panelists want to say final remarks before I close?
I'll just say one. I think it's good to have discussions, but I think we need to move beyond discussion to something actionable. Because, you know, talk, it's too much. And we're all really good at it. I mean, we really are. But I think, you know, ICANN maybe can act as a facilitator and then step back.
Julia.
Thank you. Very quick, maybe just to say thank you, Nigel and Andrea, for facilitating and engaging the discussion. As it was said, it was a progress made from Durban. So definitely, I think we are going in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Okay. So I'm going to sum up and tell you what we're going to do. This is the bottom-up process as a result, because I think we've now got a fairly clear sense of the room, and first of all, I want to take up Leslie's point and thank you for it. This is the third discussion I've taken part in on this issue. I think you missed Buenos Aires, but I'm not saying that's anything and I just want to clarify what we have already decided, and then tell you what we're going to be doing before London. So as a result of these discussions before, and I wanted to recognize Wim from Centre, and I was going to ask you to say a few words earlier, we've had good discussions with Centre, we've had good discussions with a number of organizations within Europe, and we've had these discussions at the last three ICANN meetings. So I think, you know, a couple of things that have been clarified from that, and we gave a slide presentation at Buenos Aires to clarify a few things. First of all, this is an engagement strategy. This is not a regional strategy in the sense of trying to define anything in terms of grand projects and initiatives. This is an engagement strategy. It's how we might engage better how Europe might and the European sort of wider community might engage better into the ICANN processes. So that's the first point. Secondly, in terms of geography, we adopted the Council of Europe, if you like, definition. We had a discussion indeed on what is the scope. So the scope is everyone is welcome from the Council of Europe countries. Now, I mean, clearly I take the point entirely, or we take the point entirely about the need for linkages with the CIS region, and that's something that we're completely open to, but we have to work with our colleagues, and you know, it takes two to tango, so to speak. So on that point, I think on moving forward, we've taken the message very clearly that something has to be written down, something has to be concrete, something has to be definable, and we'll certainly do that for London. We've got the survey going. We hope that everyone will take part in the survey. This was something that was asked for in Buenos Aires, and that's why we've done it. And we certainly want to get the people
not just in this room, but wider, to take part in that survey. As a result of that, as a result of this discussion, we'll put together a 2 to 3 page document, which will be the backbone of an engagement strategy for Europe, which we'll then present in London. If that has traction, then we will go forward. If it has no traction, then we will not go forward. We are not, as I've said, I mean, I might lose some bonus points in not having a European engagement strategy, but it's for the community to decide. We have the same issues in some other regions that, you know, not all regions are the same. Not all regions can be defined by capacity building, by doing something particular in terms of, you know, particular areas of the ICANN agenda. Everyone is different. So we will present what we have, and it will be up to the community, the wider community, to say yes or no. Now, just two final things on that, picking up on what Michaela has said before in terms of European legislation. And yes, we're not going to lobby. We decided before we're not a lobby organisation. But let me pick up that point on lobbying. So in terms of the European data protection regulation, yes, we're not going to lobby in terms of, although, you know, we're engaged in the discussion because we pointed out to, for instance, on the Network Information Security Directive, we sponsored some amendments in the European Parliament to make sure that registrars and registries were not caught by the scope of the NIS directive. We worked very hard with RIPE NCC and other bodies to make sure that registrars and registries were not covered. So I don't know if that's lobbying. What I think it is talking to people to explain the implications of their action. But on something like data protection, what we all, if we'd have had an engagement strategy, then perhaps what we would have done is not lobbying to Europe, but lobbying back into ICANN to say, hold on a minute, the RIA 13, because it's incompatible in certain regards, perhaps with European legislation, has this particular implication. And that is what I think we can do perhaps in other areas where ICANN is moving forward with initiatives. We can say, well, hang on a minute. The European community, not the European Union, but the European wider community, you should reflect that people in Europe think that there's a particular problem here because of X, Y, Z. So that's what we can do. We can look particularly at whether there's particularities in terms of IANA, as has been mentioned. And finally, in terms of the parallel structures that was mentioned as well, Fadi Shahadi has made it very clear that as a result of the board resolution of a few weeks ago, that this is one of the issues that is going to be discussed. There's not going to be a specific board working group or whatever group on this, but it's something that he has brought up in speeches in Barcelona, in other places, the possibility in the future, and this isn't going to be something overnight, of a legal parallel structure. And again, this has enormous implications potentially for Europe. This is where European expertise could perhaps be inputted. So that's again something that we could perhaps look at under this engagement strategy. So I'm conscious we've gone over time. I'm very sorry indeed for going over time. Thank you very much, Alice, for... Did we have any remote participants? I should have asked you earlier, of course. Thank you for doing that. Andrea, thank you very much for everything, of course. Go on.
Thank you, Nigel. 30 seconds. First of all, again, there is a survey out. That's a way that we really want you to get our inputs. And just to convey the message that we are open, that he doesn't really want to push anything to you, but we want to facilitate that. Our office in Brussels is open, and we want to show this approach in everything what we wear and what you do. And I will be preparing from this session and from the survey a document that will be presenting in London. Hopefully, my hope is that even before London, we can organize something more structured. That's why I mentioned Eurodig as a possible event. But once again, I'm in your hands for that. And I want to thank the speakers, each of them. They've made a really valuable contribution. And it actually makes even more sense to my daily job to see these things happening and to see this engagement coming. So I really thank you personally for your thoughts and insights. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Well,
four within you.
Yes. Yes. Four.